And tonight I want to talk to you about El Shaddai, the God of all power. And it's here in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. Let's read the verse. Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. That's the only verse we'll really study out of Joshua 2 tonight. Notice with me. And as soon as we heard these things, Rahab said, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Rahab's name means prideful. And she was a Canaanite prostitute living in Jericho. Somehow or another, she had heard about the God of the Hebrews. How he had delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh in Egypt some 40 years before. She had heard that the Israelites had overcome the two kings that were ruling over the eastern side of the Jordan River. And now the Israelites had kind of wiped them out. And the Lord had done a great work. And somehow, some way, she had heard that God was powerful. Joshua and the Israelites were on the eastern side of the Jordan ready to cross. God had told Joshua, arise and go over this Jordan, you and this people, and inherit the land that I've given you. And so Joshua, being a great strategist, a very wise man, now 80 years old, sent out two spies to check out Jericho and to check out the area, because Jericho was a fortress and it sort of overlooked the pass that the Israelites were going to need to go across as they went from the Jordan River up to the highlands. They were going to have to go past Jericho and they were going to have to subdue this city. It had to fall in order for them to safely pass. The two spies went to Jericho and were discovered. So they fled to Rahab's house. Harlots often owned inns, you know, little hotels that people could go and stay at. And so when the king of Jericho and the rulers of the city found out that spies were in their city, they figured they were at Rahab's house, and so they came to her looking for the spies. She hid the spies up on the roof under some stalks of flax. And to thank her for, you know, saving them, they said they wouldn't destroy her or her family when the Israelites come through Jericho to wipe it out. And so they said, tie this red cord on the outside of your window, and I'll let everybody know over on our side of the river that when we come across, we won't destroy whoever's in your house. And the Lord saved Rahab. Come to find out that Rahab is in the genealogy of Christ. For in Matthew chapter 1, we read that Rahab was in the genealogy of the Lord. Interesting who you might have in your family. The God of the heavens and the earth. Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. I love this. As soon as we heard these things, in other words, the things that God has done for you in Egypt and then on the eastern side of the Jordan, our hearts melted. Notice that. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God. He is God. Heaven above and earth beneath. Although Rahab was a Canaanite prostitute, lost in her immorality and sin, she had come to realize that the Hebrew God was God of all. She used the word Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for the Lord, and speaks of his triunity. And so she had come to believe. You know, faith appears in the strangest of places, doesn't it? When you read through the Bible, you find all kinds of characters. And you would think that they would not believe. And the people that you think should believe don't. And the prostitutes are the ones who believe. Amazing, isn't it? Paul said, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And somehow, some way, Rahab had heard about the God of the Hebrews. We're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11, that Rahab was saved by her faith. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. She said in verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you this land. She knew as the Israelites were coming across into her county, if you will, in her area. She said, I know your God has given you this land. That's a lot of faith for a Canaanite prostitute. Let me ask you this. If you could ask the Lord any question you wanted, what would you ask? Would you ask the Lord who's going to win the NBA Finals? I already know the answer to that. But for you, some of you, it may be a mystery, maybe conflicted. But here's what some kids wrote to God. These were their big questions. I love this first one especially. Dear God, the little kid wrote. In Sunday school, they told us what you do. But I want to know who does it when you're on vacation. Can you see a little kid writing that? Another kid said, are you really invisible or is that just a trick? Is it true my father won't go to heaven if he uses those bowling league words at home? Did you mean for a giraffe to look like that? Or was that just an accident? Another kid wrote. Dear God, instead of letting people die and have to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you have now? I like that. It makes sense, right? God, who draws the lines around the countries on the map? Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works for my brother, the little kid wrote. Dear God, I don't think anybody could be a better God. Well, I just want you to know, but I'm not just saying that because you're God already. Little kid wrote. Who is God? You ever wonder that? You ever look in the mirror and think, why am I here? And who made me? Well, go over with me to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. And I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. I want you to see the personal way in which God revealed himself. Check this out. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Love that. Moses, I'm the Lord. I'm going to do this work. I'm going to release my people by the hand of Pharaoh. God was saying that he was in control. Moses, I'm the Lord. How many times We need to be reminded that He is the Lord. Amen? We forget, don't we, that God is in control. You know, there's a danger in you and I forgetting who God is in our lives. Whenever a man forgets who God is, he's prone to exalt one of two things. Either himself or another man. And yet in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." In other words, when you look around you, you should understand that there is a God. And that He's all powerful. And that the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament His handiwork. And when I look around me, I see God's handiwork everywhere. I love to be outside. I like it outside. I like to go hiking or swimming at the lake. We have these cliffs that we jump off at Lake Georgetown in the water. And in case you were worried about it. No, we jump off and levitate. I mean, that's kind of fun. No, I'm kidding. Paul said, look, from the creation of the world, man's been able to look around and see that there's a God. He said, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that men are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's a lot of people who relate to God based on His power, based on what He creates. They see all the things that He's made, all the things that God is capable of, but they don't know how to relate to God in a personal way. They see a sunset and they think, oh, isn't God awesome? God, You can paint a sky like nobody else. And so they relate to God in sort of that way, but not in a personal way. And that's the way that it was with the forefathers of Moses. They didn't relate to Him as much in a personal way. And so God revealed Himself to Moses' forefathers in Exodus chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, watch how God reveals Himself. The Lord told Moses, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He said, I am the Lord Almighty, or God Almighty, and by My name I was not known to them. So I wasn't known to them by name. I revealed Myself as a God of power. The word God Almighty in Hebrew is El Shaddai. And it's the Hebrew name for God Almighty. How many of you have ever seen pictures that were taken by the Hubble Space Telescope? How many of you? There's a few hands. Did you guys ever go on the internet? You guys? And you see these tremendous formations out in space. And they focused it on what's called the Cone Nebula. Now, the Cone Nebula is a long way away. It's a pillar of gas and dust. And they measured it at 2.5 light years across. Now, that's a long way. You and I measure distances in inches and feet and in miles. Matter of fact, when we were driving down here tonight, I said, well, how far do you think it is? And Jenna said, well, it's 32 miles. I said, well, I bet you it's 42. And so we got driving down here. Do you know what was on my tripometer? 31.9 miles. How did she know? How did she do that? I was like, Jenna, you're awesome. How did you know that? But so we measure things in like miles or kilometers. But when astronomers, when they use their telescopes to look at stars, things are a lot different. There's no way that you could measure things in feet. The number of, you know, it would represent distance would be so vast. There's not enough zeros to represent it. The distances, according to Buddy the Elf, are ginormous. For example, the closest star to us, besides the sun, is 24 trillion miles away. That's the closest star, or 38 trillion kilometers, if you're from Europe. That's the closest star. Now watch this. There are stars out there that are billions of times farther away. That's amazing to me. And so to measure them in a mile or a kilometer just wouldn't be practical. And so they measure really, really ginormous distances with light years. Now, a light year is the distance light travels in the period of a year. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. It takes light from the sun 6 minutes to travel through space to reach our Earth. And so a light year, if you're taking notes, and you can play with Bungie when he gets back on these numbers. It's kind of fun. A light year, watch this, is 5,865,696 miles long. One light year. That's a long way. Now, if the Cone Nebula is 2.5 light years across, then here's Bob's fuzzy math. Watch this. The Cone Nebula, the distance across it is 14,664,240,000,000 miles across. You could travel at 186,000 miles per second. You could travel for 1 year at the speed of light and not be halfway across the Cone Nebula. That's a big distance, right? And you guys are going, who is this guy? And why is he here? That's only one formation out in space among billions of galaxies, right? Sometimes we see our problems as so big, so formidable, the things that we encounter in life. They're so large. And we think, I'll never overcome this problem. You ever have that feeling? You know? I'll never get to the end of this. I keep climbing and climbing that mountain. As a matter of fact, I feel like I slide backwards more than I go up. You ever have that feeling? That describe how you feel tonight. That problem or problems in your life. It's just too big for me. Check this out. El Shaddai, God Almighty, who has created all things, to him, your problem seems so tiny. You know, poof, it's gone. No big deal, the Lord says. That thing that you're worried about. Provisions on the way. I'm going to meet your need. Well, I don't know how I'm going to make my rent. I don't know what to do with that doctor's report. I don't know about, you know, what to do with my husband as he's flirting with the secretary at work. I'm unsure. Things are unstable in our family. There's rumor around the office, around the cubicles of layoffs. I own a GM dealership. It's a big mountain. It's the same dealership that got all the hail damage, right? A couple months ago. To the Lord, to El Shaddai, who made the Cone Nebula. I mean, come on. The Lord says, so what problem were you talking about? I can meet your need. And I can do it in a way that you never imagined. We often tell the Lord, Lord, if you would only meet my need this way, you know? If Lord, if you would only fit my parameters, my boundaries, Lord, if you would only do it this way, you know, and the Lord is saying, dude, well, I don't think he really says, maybe he does, I don't know. Maybe he calls angels dudes. Hey, dudes, go down there and help. Maybe he does, I don't know. But what was I talking about? But the Lord has ways of meeting your needs that you cannot fathom. And we think, Lord, if you could just meet my need this way. And the Lord says, oh, man. If you only knew that I'm ready to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on your life. If you only knew what I'm going to do, it would blow your mind. I'm El Shaddai. Look at the Cone Nebula. I created that. I spoke it. I breathed it into existence. What is your problem? For me, what is there that I cannot overcome in your life? What mountain do you have that I cannot level and straighten out for you? El Shaddai. Paul said that through Christ, all things were created. We sang about that tonight. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven or that are on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Jesus is holding it all together. Now, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, watch this. Check this out. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, there's nothing in your life that he cannot overcome tonight. Amen? He's El Shaddai. He's going to help you tonight. He's going to fight for you because of who he is. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is in your life. And if he could do all of those things in your life, you should be able to trust him tonight. I think it's interesting. The next time that you think that mountain in your life is just too big, think of the Cone Nebula. Out there in space, so vast, so huge. But the Lord spoke it into existence. So if Rahab, a Canaanite harlot lost in her morality, could have the faith to believe that El Shaddai had given the Israelites the land of Canaan as their inheritance, she believed that the Lord was going to do a work for the Israelites. If she could believe that he is God Almighty, how can we do anything less tonight? You know? God's going to work. The answer is coming. Jesus said, when you pray, pray without doubting. Believe that I'm going to work. Believe that I am able. to overcome that obstacle in your life, no matter if that mountain in your life is Mount Everest. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to meet your need. I am El Shaddai. And I think that we could put our trust in the Lord tonight. And as we sort of end our teaching time, we're going to transition into a time of fellowship and a little hangout time. I think that's so good. There's going to be those that are here, you know, that are available to pray with you. And so take this opportunity to take that need you have, that mountain in your life that you just can't seem to overcome, and sort of allow approaching that prayer group as a springboard for your faith. Believing that as you are being prayed for, the Lord's going to work, that the Lord is going to bring the solution, that God is going to open the windows of heaven, and God is going to rain blessings on your life. God has the answer. Whether you are lonely tonight, whether you need protection tonight, whether you need forgiveness for your sins tonight, whatever it might be, whatever prayer need you have, use this opportunity to approach those people who are there to minister to you and pray to you and say, look, would you be willing to pray with me without doubting that God's going to work? And then believe that the Lord's going to do the work and trust in him and watch and see what the Lord will do. The Lord told Moses, I am the Lord God. Watch what I will do to Pharaoh. So what Pharaohs are in your life, maybe it's your boss, I don't know. Maybe you're enslaved by your boss, I don't know. Maybe you're a boss and you have people that work underneath you, I don't know. The Lord's saying, watch what I'm going to do. You know? And as the Lord begins to do a work in your life, as God begins to bring that season of answers and supply and refreshment to your soul and to your finances and all, as the Lord begins to work in the relationships around you and all, then you should then be a witness to other people as what the Lord is doing in your life. Proclaim the Lord's praises. Tell people what God is doing. You'll never believe what God did. He brought an answer to the prayer. I mean, I've been praying for so long. And I heard about the Cone Nebula the other night, and God answered my prayer. I don't know how it worked, but this 2.5 trillion thing, and at light year, at Buzz Lightyear. And the Lord was, I don't know what the guy was even saying, but I got some prayer. And the Lord, and then so you take that, then as the Lord works in your life, and you go to work, or you go to the classroom, and you tell people what God has done for you. And that's the most powerful witness you could ever have, because no one can disclaim or refute a work that God does in your life. No one can explain away the fact that God met a need in an awesome way, in a glorious way, in a way that only God could receive the glory for it. So next time you are struggling with that mountain in your life, just think, Lord, you're in control. El Shaddai. Do a work, Lord. Meet the need, and then put your trust in him and watch and see what God will do. Amen.